Okay, good evening. I think we're holding Perichov Bays. Okay, so now he's going to go through two or three more terms about motion and how to translate it. Next three or four prakim are kind of just the words. Boy, habia blosh ivim nachas the bias palachayim. So anytime you go to a place that's called Bia Ama, Bochichobe Mirma, Vigamki Munachas Likonis Balachayim Bemokim Echod, it also means coming into a certain place, like Vyav Yasva Baisik, Zval Oretz, Vihushal Ze Hashem Levoya Inyashen Guf Klau. So coming has been borrowed as a metaphor, Kiyovoy Dvarach Vichabnucha, Mashay Yavoy Layach. So he says, it means things should happen, things come, like we say in English. It can also be with things that don't exist, like we say, bad came, night came. So even though night doesn't usually come, it's light that disappears, it's the same idea. So just like it relates to something which does not exist, which in effect is something abstract, so too for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Im levoi dvaroi o levoi shchinosoi. Ulfizeis hash'ola nema, hina nechi bo lecha ba'av ha'onon, yashon lakei sol bo avoi, v'chol ma shiidme leze inyonoi bo yashchina. Oba ha'shev lekai kol toshin imach bo yidvaroi. So it means whatever he predicted when it says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means his haftach is wo mekuyim. Fine. So that is Bia. Yetzia is the opposite of Bia. Nas is Hashem Yetzias Geshem Imokim Shoynoch Bimokim Acher. It could be a Balchai, like Hem Yetzair, Kiseitzi Ha'esh, fire going out from one place. Behusha L'Ros Inishin Guf Klal, Adob Yetzbi HaMelech, So all of these things are same idea, borrowed for non-physical terms. So what does it mean when we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being Yotzi Mimekomo? It means that something is moving from place A to place B. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that which I had not noticed in any particular place is now going to be there. So just like if Reuven left Makom, if the place A and ended up in B, so it means that he appeared suddenly in B. It normally HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hidden from us, and now when he comes in, Hashem Yotze Mimekomo, that's what it means. Kloma hischadish man shischadish achish lehoya. Ki kol mischadish meitis baruch yusuf ledvorin. So any time we see something new happening, we define it as something which has left HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dibur and arrive to us. The mus be meisim aboy meisam lochim, asher kliyim bavir etzoneim hadiber. Vehu yisbarach built it zokli yaseboy, al polosib etzoneim levad, meidibar gankim shumponim yisbarach. So let's just describe this point over here. When we speak of Dvar Hashem, we tend to think that, you know, that is in itself is already a non-physical term. When we say b'dvar Hashem shemayim nasur, we know that a person, when he constructs something, needs to work, bring earth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just with Dibur. So he says, that's also a metaphor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dibur doesn't exist either. But what it means is, if I need to find something that travels from point A to point B, that is the most refined, something which is not it's as non-physical as possible. So light, they didn't understand that way in those days. So Dibur would be the most non-physical entity to travel from point A to point B. So when I say there's a Dvar Hashem that went from A to B, so the Dvar Hashem, Ke'ilu, when anything is created, I see it as a Dvar Hashem having left its source, meaning the place where it is not yet seen, and become visible. I look at every Gilui that happens as the Mais of Dvar Hashem, and it entails coming from and going to. So he says, Vikasha, and it's parallel to when a king does create something by speaking. He says, chop this guy's head off. So the Dibur is what came out. And the counterpart to that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the fact that it just happened. Vikasha hushala leiros pulim polis of yitzik mashu ba'arno ba'omro hine Hashem yotzim komo. Shiva. So whenever we talk about some pu'ula that has done what it's supposed to do, and it's no longer needed to do it, the pasuk says, Elecha shuva el mekoymi, the Shechina says, I will return to my place, which means basically this action will cease. The Shechina will no longer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interaction with the Bria will cease to be visible. So we had a sense of a very strong Hashkacha, and we will cease to have that sense. So whenever we're in a situation where the Shechina is no longer here, or when it's called Vistarti, it means that as far as we see, we don't detect HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacting with the world. We don't detect him directing Tov, protecting from Ra, or any of that things. Ki kesheneda hashkocha hufkar v'nisha matar l'chol ma'she'efsha shover yikra. Once there's no hashkocha, no visible hashkocha in the world, then as far as we're concerned, everything that happens is, every possible bad thing happens. We don't see it, and because the Hashkach is not in a visible mode, we don't see the bad things as coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All we see is, you know, the cat's away and the mice begin to play. This is a terrible, terrible prophecy. That's what Elech Shuvam Kor means, because Baruch Hu will no longer interact with the Bria. I just want to add a point about this Rambam saying, Makosh is a Yud. When a person has to endure difficulties, so a person is in a hospital and is undergoing difficult treatments, it's painful, it's stressful, but at least the person understands what's happening, why it's happening, and he has some sense of direction. It helps a person cope with a tsar that there is a some sort of point to it. But let's say a person's perception is things that just happen at random. That makes the pain much worse because it's senseless, it's meaningless. I don't have a framework to cope with it. And therefore, the worst interaction with Rebbe Yisrael is not when there's a sense of hashgacha punishing, but when the sense is less dimelastayin. Anything and everything could happen and people are, you know, senselessly after us. That's the Rambam sort of puts in a makosh as a yud. Okay, so that took care of Bia and Yitzia. Halicha gam ke michal Hashem esamunachem letnuos mechodes nos balachayim. Yaakov holach ledarkoi. It can also speak about inanimate things that have motion. It says the mayim hayahola fechase, vatihalach eish arzo. So halich is referring to water and to fire. Vachakach huchal lispashet in yechad ve'er oisoyim. V'meinoy guf klal. It began speaking about things spreading out, even if they're not a guf, like koila kanocha shele. V'chet omre koila shem l'kim mishalach bagan. Hakoilu nemashav mishalach. So we would say that the focus in that is a hispashtus of that call. Well, if fizois hashalo who call lashon halicha shebob elakayis barach, this would refer to any halicha about a kadosh baruch hu kloima shehi hushala lemasha enoy guf in lespasha inyan or lesurashkacha asheder lebalachay. So either the halicha means a kadosh baruch whose hashkacha fans out, or surman adavish balachayim balicha, or to walk away. When someone, halicha includes himself both arriving and going away. So, and it includes itself a sense of it moving in a direction. So when Dvar Hashem is mispashet, or Dvar Hashem is nesaf, halicha. Or k'moy shekina histalik hashkocha basaras panim, ve'omroi, v'noiche haste aste panay. V'ken kino se balicha, shubin yasumin adav, v'oma eilecha shuvel mekoyim. So you have both, both terms used. Omnam, omri vayicha af Hashem bom vayelach yesh boshren yom yachad. Kloima, inyan istalak ashkocha, hamechune bahalicha, vinyan hispashet hadov, vigalois vayse kloima hacharoin af, asha holach v'nimshra aleim, v'lozeh shav v'sashka shol. So this is very interesting. This sort of, I guess, emphasizes what we said before, that there is a halicha, which means no hashkocha. But when it says vayicha af Hashem bom, it means that there was a hashkocha l'ra. The tzaras kesholeg that Miriam became wasn't a random bad that happened to her. It was something that was a clear mida keneged mida, and therefore it's interesting. So there was a halicha where the hashkocha that protects tzaddik was mistalik, but then there was a hispasha davigaloisoi, the charoin af was miskala. Charoin af is a midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a very, very terrible midah, it's a very difficult midah, but at least there's a sense there that there's Ribbono Shel, that I'm interacting with Ribbono Shel. V'chein hu shalosh na'alicha la'anhagim min hagim achshuvim, mibilti ha'nos gof klal. It also means to follow like falachta bedrocha v'asher kein teichon so. Okay, finally, shochein. V'yadua ke'inyan zoi samilu asmoda so'im d'bokem echot. Shochein means to be in one place for a long time. Now, let's explain what he's being mafkia. When I say somebody lives in this place, two things are apparent. One means that this person derives a certain personal need. Every person needs a home, a shelter. So this is his home. It also means, if you want to find him, 50% of the time, he's home. Shchein b'Kadosh Baruch Hu cannot mean the first one. It's not describing a personal, what's the word for it? A personal situation, Rav Shalom, that he is getting, that he's in getting his shelter in this place. But it does mean that there is something at this point that's of duration. V'zeh ha'yadua ha'mefursim. V'inyan ha'shchina b'mokom hu asmodas ha'oymed b'mokom echad b'mokom ahu. So when I say he is found in this place, it doesn't mean that he doesn't go out to work. It doesn't mean that he doesn't go down to shop. But tachlis, this is the place where he's focused around. V'hushal zeh l'masha eina balachayim. Av l'chol inyin sheis yashe v'shokar al dova acha, yamar gagan ki losha shechina. So anything which is focused on a specific point, we use shechina. Va'af al pi sheloi hoya dova sheshokar lov inyahu mokom, even though that point was not exactly a place, lo inyahu gam balachayim, and not even a living entity. Oma, tishkin olav anona. Vein sofik ki anona, and it says, a cloud dwelled over there. Clouds are not living beings. They don't live any place. But it's the same concept. Vein sofik ki anona eina bal chayim v'lo hayom guf klal al chelek zman. So we're talking about time, and we're talking about a cloud, and yet we use the same metaphor. Ulefiza is hashal l'hushar kais baruch. In this context, we use it for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kloyma la'smod ha'shkinos ha'shkachosoy, be'ize mokim she'smira ba'shchina, be'bechol da ba'shesmira ha'shkacha. Any place where shchina is found a long time, or ha'shkacha, it says, v'yishkan kvod Hashem, v'shachant etzoch ne'israel, v'tsoyin sheikh nisneh. V'chol ma sheba mizoy sapula, miyuchaz l'kayis baruch, u'be'in ha'smod ha'shkinosoy, kloyma, oiri ha'nivra ba'mokim. So one interpretation, if you want to use shchina to refer to a particular place, we're going to be talking about the Oyer HaNivra, like we've mentioned many times, the Kavod HaNivra. Oy HaSmaras HaShkach V'Davechad V'Finyari. So in two ways, and the Rambam uses this many, many, many times, in two ways can this term refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Either we talk about the physical apparition, which is represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Ratz in a place. So we're talking about a light that is in a certain spot, or we're talking about Hashkacha with a certain entity. Okay, so these three or four prokim were describing words. Now let's learn a perik that it speaks more general in Yonim. Perik Chafav. Kor yadaitim rosim akrololos amina pirushim kulam atluim bezeh inyin. Chazal gave us a description, a term, which will describe for us the usage of human terms for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vo Amram, Dibro Torah Kadosh Adam. Torah speaks in the language of man. Inyaze. Ki kol ma she'efshev ne Adam kulam havanose v'tziroi. B'tchilas ha'machshava, hu asha som roi l'kayis barach. Anything which a person uses in the first stage of thinking about things is appropriate to use for Baruch Shalom. Let's talk a little bit about this. A child, as he begins to grow up, the first thing that he absorbs are images, table, a chair, his mother, his father, the door, whatever. Those are the first elements that are inscribed in his brain. And these are like bits. These are pieces of like hieroglyphics. And he can now use that when he starts to talk as his language. Mommy, door, food, and he sort of basically says, mother walked through the door and brought food. So he has a picture of mommy, door, and food. As he slowly begins to get older, he begins to think more in a abstract way. Like, he recognizes that the world is divided between mommies and tatties, and mommies are a class, and tatties are a class, he and so on. So he slowly begins to abstract these things and to understand them more abstract. His first meaning of love is a mother squeezing him and kissing him, and mommy loves you, but then he can begin to understand it means somebody helping somebody. It means somebody punishing somebody because he loves him, and so on. So we start with physical terms that are our basic vocabulary, and we slowly begin to get an abstract sense of it. That is, any Dibur Torah Shel Adam means we can take terms that are the basic physical pieces of speech and apply the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He will qualify it, but that is appropriate. It's done. I once saw from the Lubavitch Rebbe, actually, he said a very nice point. He was speaking about Rashi's first pshat, second pshat, why Rashi says this pshat. So he said, since Rashi is the parshin on the psukim, and it's ben chomish lemikra, so there has to be a level of pshat and Rashi that is correct even for ben chomish lemikra. So Torah is given to every single Jew, the simplest person. So there has to be a level there that is appropriate for every person. So he says, and that's why descriptions that are physical are appropriate. So here he says a very, very important piece. The reason for it is, for a little kid, something which is not physical does not exist. Something which is conceptual is ki'ilu, it isn't. So when the things that are real to a young child, to a simple person, to a beginner, are physical objects. If we were to write the Torah in philosophical, Kabbalistic terms, then basically people would say it doesn't exist. It's just imagination. You know, these are all nebulous things. They don't actually have mamashes. I personally think that that's the reason those in Ramayisha Taku, in what he writes sharply against the Psad Yigo and the Rambam, wasn't so much, he obviously also did not hold a Kadosh Baruch Hu as a goof. It's nonsense. But he felt that Reb Sadie Goyen and the Rambam were all taking Torah and making it to allegory. So it's all emes, but it's all mashalim. And there's nothing real. This is about the good man's heart. This is about the bad man's heart. This is about the good that rewards itself. At the end of the day, we're talking about something that doesn't exist. It's just a beautiful story. The way a secular person who's condescending about religion says it is all true 1,000%, but it's true as truth with a capital T. So Abraham is the pioneer in every person, and Moses is the law abiding person, every person, b'chulu, b'chulu, b'chulu. And basically it means, it's another way of saying it doesn't mean anything. My wife's grandfather, Lezudel, was in America once collecting, and another she was there, and he asked him, he says, does he know, he asked Rabbi Lezudel if he knows any English, because he keeps hearing a word and doesn't know what it is. So he said he knows a few words. So he asked him, people keep telling me, I'll try, was meint das? What does it mean? So Rabbi Lezudel says it doesn't mean anything. It's a meaningless term. So al kapanim, that's what people would say. Umashayne geshem or nimtza begeshem, eina nimtza etzla. So now, the klal is A, we use graphic physical terminology because the most important piece is that the Ribono Shel Olam is and he exists. And anything which is positive term, klapi us, one is allowed to use klapi Ribono Shel Olam. So we ascribe, and the Torah ascribes, terms that are innately positive terms to Ribono Shel Olam. Terms that are to us negative and describe some deficiency, we can't use it as regarding by Shalom. V'chol ma sheu yachshei v'amoin shu shleim us yitoya boi, v'apu sheu dovu omnor shleim us barach aleinu, al barach elav yisparach, ela sheu nashin kula shleim us yivtas chisorin. So if I say, ah, the Rebbein Shalom is really, really smart. That's not a positive thing according to Rebbein Shalom. That he's mufka from that. I mean, smart and stupid is in the world of physical brains. But even though in a very, very correct world of metaphysics, these things are not right, still we have them. Omnam. If we would ascribe to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then people would feel deficient. So the point is really, what is the sense that you're conveying to people? I use the mashal always. If let's say you have a kid, a young boy, who learned by trial and error that when you touch something hot, when you touch a fire, it hurts. And now he's a very kind of adventurous kid. He's staying at the edge of a lake. And you want to yell at him to get him away. Should you say fire or water? So technically, from a chemist's point of view, avad avad, it's water, and you're teaching him something wrong. But if you want to get him to get away from it, you yell fire, because that's the same thing. So the Torah uses physical terms to describe Kadosh Baruch Hu, provided that the sense it conveys to the person is a positive quality, not a negative. So motion is something which people see as positive. Lemaisi says, even though realistically every motion describes a chisaron. I had to go here because I went shopping, because I was running away, because I was tired of being in one place. Any motion does describe deficiency logically, but but as far as people go, and what the language means to them, so eating and drinking would be considered to be degrading. Even though in theory it needs a chisaron, but by people it's not like that. Now he has the following point. This is a philosophical argument that Aristotle made. To us, it sounds kind of strange. I'll just briefly discuss it. All he's trying to say with this is that anytime we define something as moving, it's going to have to be finitely divisible. So Aristotle has a proof. Anything that moves, that has size, mischalik le suffik, has to be divisible. These proofs are basically, that's three proofs. They're along the lines of every time there's a change, so nothing changes in one shot. A lemashal. Let's say something becomes rotten or moldy. It doesn't happen in one shot. It can't change in one shot, because that would be like a nace. It happens gradually. Every process is step by step. So that means there has to be one piece that's not rotten yet, and one piece that's getting rotten, and one piece that's already rotten. So I've identified parts. When wall become gray or yellow with age, there's a process. For a process to happen, it means some of them have been affected, some not. So that means almost by definition that it is divisible. It's a philosophical, three arguments like that. There are arguments that today's ears, they don't exactly ring very powerfully. We don't think of it this way. But his point here is basically that anything emotion must be. He has another point. And when you say something is in motion, if it is, if on 12 o'clock it was on point A, and 12 plus 1 millisecond, it's at point B totally. So that's not motion. That's like teleportation. Motion means that there is gradual point, 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 point. If there's gradual point, 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 then I must be saying that this is at this point and a piece behind it is following because something else is going to move to the next point. So again, I have to say that it is infinitely divisible. That's an argument that Aristotle, take it or leave it, it's not important. All he means to say is it definitely means that by saying Hashem has movement, we are describing somebody who is kind of physical as opposed to non-physical. You can't say HaKadosh Baruch was resting because resting is the opposite of movement. Motion, I can say the car is resting because it could be moving. I can't say kindness is resting because kindness doesn't move. So menucha also would mean that. So and yet we use motion like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using the principle we said before. A, we may apply physical terminology to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The purpose of it is so that people have a sense of reality, that it's real and not just a theory. But it has to be a term that we see as positive as opposed to negative. All of these terms obviously are not the etzem true, but it follows the yisod that he gave over here when you can use it. The Zayin, it says Aroch b'Yisrud. It's really unnecessary. It says it's excessive to keep harping on this. Because people think differently. Since when we start growing up, we get used to all of this terminology, so it requires a constant harping on it to get it out of our mind. And that's why Ram says I will keep referring to it. Okay, we'll hold it here. Any questions, points, comments, anything?
When you mentioned before about when Hashem is b'mikra, when Hashem leaves, does that mean you have about a teichacha with the lashon of keri? Over there, it's like with the lashon of halicha. It's halachtem imei b'keri. It's
right.
It's not. It sounds like it's like the charoin af almost. It's I don't know.
In other words, we've made keri a shita instead of a. It's like somebody comes at, he has a way of coming when you least expect it.
Rabbi, okay. So if I'm understanding correctly, the whole thing of Aristotle's argument is that anything that can change by definition is limited, because if it was unlimited, then it can't change.
It's divisible because since change by definition is gradual, you have something like, we'll call it metamorphosis, where A becomes B. So that we don't call change because it just boom. Anything that does change, we will always describe it as just like a half-life of radioactive stuff. A half-life of radioactive means some of the atoms will stop being radioactive. So anything that changes, the use of the word change automatically requires that there be many pieces, because that's how the process happens gradually.
But even if it doesn't happen gradually, aren't we saying that if A becomes B, so then while it's A, it's therefore not B, and that creates certain limitations within A?
He's speaking about the point of if I call. Let's take an example. Let's say I was a magician, and I wave a wand on A disappears. Then I say, you know what? I'd like to create B. So there was I'm a kid sitting at the table. There's a big bowl of carrots and celery and all sorts of wonderful things. And I hate it. So I wave my magic wand, poof, it disappears. But I'm hungry. So I wave a magic wand and now full of ice cream and cake. So I can't say that that the vegetables change with ice cream cake. It's two separate pulleys. The vegetables disappeared and ice cream and cake appeared. But when I say it changed into it, I'm going to witness carrot becoming less and less carroty and more cakey until it changes. So to do that, the way in which something gradually happens is that more and more atoms change. Now, I don't want to get into it, but if you follow the argument all the way down, at one point, it does happen instantly. So when we get down to the atomic level, you don't like the atomic level, go down to the level of electron. You don't like go to the quark. At some point, you're going to come to a point where before it was and now it's not. So that logic doesn't really, but I don't know. That was the way people thought, you know, maybe.
But what does the Rambam not like about that? Like, what's the crux of where the Rambam saying no?
The Rambam is just, forget, the Rambam is quoting it. The Rambam uses it for something very tangential. The Rambam says, since we have this axiom that anything that's possible to be in motion must be divisible, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is not divisible, cannot be in motion. He was using it as a sort of logical, impeccable proof that it can't be Kipshutai. And in today's ears, this doesn't sound quite terribly convincing.
So this framework, if I've written too long, whoever wants can leave. Would it be kfira to say that the Ribbono Shel Olam by definition is omnipotent and therefore unlimited, so it creates a certain stagnation because the only thing that can change is something that's limited. So if something is unlimited, it results in a certain level of stagnation.
The stagnation to us is bad because we are less than perfect. And the more we stay, if I say somebody's not steiging, I'm implying something. But if let's say a person is in a state of perfection, then the word stagnation doesn't have any meaning. It is perfect. Stagnation is usually seen as being a chisaron because I'm not perfect and I'm staying more and more imperfect, and that's becoming more and more who I am. Somebody's trying very hard, lemashal, to break his habit. Let's say a person has a drug habit, chashal. So I made some progress and then I stopped. So that's terrible because I know it'll backslide. But let's say the person stopped taking drugs, period. So I wouldn't call that stagnation. The longer it goes on, I wouldn't say, well, you're stagnating because you are where you are. I mean, this is what you should be. So that word wouldn't apply to perfection that we understand as a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Okay. We wouldn't say this, something like that with why the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in order to be native because stagnation was a chassan. We would not, I mean, that would be clearly true.
No. Chas v'shalom. There's nothing about a Kadosh Baruch Hu that we can discuss. And therefore, when the question of why created the world is a label for us. What are we meant to accomplish? That's what it is. That's all it is.
Okay.
But the Rambam says that there could be periods or people for whom there's no hashkacha and instead they're subject to mikra. Is that shani b'machlekas, or is that something that everyone would agree to?
No, even the Rambam, what he means is it appears to us mikra. The sense we have is senseless, meaningless, random. It's ve'estarti panai means all. That's why we perceive it. We perceive a world that has no less than lestayin, and that's the most frightening of all worlds. It's all in the perception in how we perceive it.
Uh-huh. But from an absolute perspective, the hashgacha is still there. And...
Yes, yes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop looking. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop seeing. The question is, what is our sense of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world? And the answer is, in times of Hesta, we have a perception as if there's nothing around. And that's the most frightening of all perceptions. Okay, good. Good Shabbos.
Oh.